Chapter 21. The Bull. Kill Ator first. That had been the Inquisitor's impossible plan. The Champion of Chaos knew the tactic going in and wouldn't have anything to do with it. Ator the Bull waved his pet psyker, taunting the enemy as hot-shotted sniper rounds, artillery barrages, and salvos from a squad of Hellblade tanks hammered into a semi-transparent barrier surrounding both the Champion and the warp rift it had created. That the mechanized forces had undocked from Gaul Primus meant the Imperial Guard was going all in, and things weren't going well. The puppet psyker glowed a sickly red as it projected the impervious bubble in every direction around its host. The power being channeled was immense. Within the bubble, a warp rift acted as a one-way portal from the Empyrean, birthing berserkers for a clash that raged a quarter mile away. The traitor Astartes wore helmets and armor covered with blood the color of rust. Equipped with claws, blades, and thunderhammers, they moved with an unreal speed, dodging across the uneven landscape and into the carnage of the Imperial Guard's makeshift lines. The berserkers scythed through whatever remained on the plains between cities. Desperate soldiers fought back and died in droves. Bolstered by F Company's earlier donations, I'd run 10 miles across broken ground, following the long strides of a giant. Somewhere along the way, the horrific battle had reached a plateau. Wounds meant nothing. Kills meant everything and happened all too often for the Fulcrumite divisions. After a few obvious early losses, the Imperial Guard's mechanized forces had retreated far enough to be untouchable. Unable to dent the enemy's source, they focused on the inbound zigzagging berserkers and only seemed effective at slowing them down before they reached the infantry. The mechanized barrage didn't stop there. It rained on the misshapen lines in a melee that wouldn't end. For every Chaos Berserker destroyed, another would pop through the portal and begin its charge. Based on the screams and roar of battle, too many of Ator's bulls completed the most vicious cycle imaginable. In my head, Sarkis was laughing. The vampire's connection to the blood curse remained. It sensed the slaughter and collected the chaotic energy of every wound and every splash of blood upon the contested ground. This was the Bloodthorn's domain, and Ator was the perfect partner. With Ator's back to me, its ornate armor looked impregnable, but that couldn't be the case. The beast wouldn't be hiding within the rift shield otherwise. Channeling raw warp energy directly into our reality, the rogue psyker would never weaken. The rogue's mind might dissolve, but it would never tap out. A pair of silver bolts lanced outward from my hands, slamming into the cosmic bubble. Normally they could pierce the armor of a Hellblade tank, but now, nothing. Not even a ripple. Ator didn't even notice. Ator the Bull had marked the rogue psyker, using the savant as a channel into the warp. My channel into the warp was limited, but I could do the same with Sarkis and the web of power he had spread across Gaul. Our connection meant there weren't any secrets between us. The blood curse was a spell I could use as easily as destroy. The bridge between my soul and that of the Bloodthorn would need a banisher to burn it away. Until then, I could call blood energy across it in torrents. I began with Secundus and Tertius, drawing on the Hive's silver strands. That was the good part, the reunion of silver, but I didn't stop there. Having marked the Bloodthorn, I stole away its reserves. Sarkis became the ragdoll, screaming in my mind. I followed suit, screaming back. The crimson power flowed, scalding me like one of Warrant Green's reds. I held onto it for an eternity, maybe 3 seconds, and hoped that my silver energy could sharpen the dark energy's edge on the way out. Starfire appeared in my hand, powering up, and I roared out, "Five!" It was an epitaph for the damned. The lightning bolts appeared as one inside the psychic wave, spinning from the force weapon in a coppery stream of silver and red. The focused surge of power breached Ator's bubble. As the rogue psyker exploded in Ator's grasp, the warp rift slammed shut, and the champion's protective bubble vanished. My reality condensed into a pair of fierce red eyes. Ator's disappointment burst forth in a rage, its horns and claws bubbling with power in an inverse light. The beast lowered its head and charged. There was no dodging this train. The shard of Sarkis knew it and made its play, reaching for control of the dark energy I'd stolen. My war shield faded. Suddenly I was naked and afraid of the beasts I'd unleashed, each attacking from a different angle. I gave Sarkis his due, dropping all claims to his blood-red reserve. Tertius was a city of silver waiting over my shoulder like a backstop. The spell it harbored was more than a spell. It was me in my most chaotic form. Aitor was halfway to its target and picking up speed, the dark and mundane warrior growing into an unstoppable force. There's a freedom in knowing that running will do you no good. Frantically gathering my silver reserves, I stood my ground. Aitor opened its mouth to roar and plummeted forward, burying its face and horns into the broken ground between us. Its momentum, once meant for me, carried over into a flipping, neck-twisting, body-slamming sprawl that ended 5 paces short of its mark. An invisible knee-high wall of energy held form behind it. Lord Mantisera had predicted that only the power of a Primaris could stop it cold. Being energy-challenged, I had just enough juice to trip the beast and let the rocky ground do the rest. Aitor was suitably stunned. I was suitably desperate. The race was on to collect ourselves for the next round. Fethet. The beast was down, its horns crackling with energy. The molecular disruptor and starfire crackled back. I took a chance and charged my foe. In the bigger scheme of things, something as small as a flinch can make all the difference. As I raced toward Aitor with starfire at the ready, a sniper round joined the conversation, whispering in my ear as it passed by. Not liking what it had to say, I involuntarily juked to the left as the bolt ripped into Aitor's hide. Down and docile, Aitor became a vicious blur. The beast lunged forward on all fours, claws digging into hardpan, horns looking to skewer and tear me apart. Had I been running straight at my foe, I would have been dead. By veering left, Starfire was in line to meet Aitor's burst with its monomolecular edge. Can a power glaive cut through one of Aitor's horns? Probably. Can it cut through the champion's skull? Most definitely. And it had pretty much the same effect. Both of Aitor's massive horns separated from its body along with its helmet and the top half of its head. Without the rift bubble for protection, the brute's long abused armor barely matched that of a rusty battle tank. My next strike parted the joint at the back of its neck, and the last severed its spine.
Butchery,
Sarkis raved in my head.
Assassin.
Sarkis, your minions have failed you. Aitor the Bull won't be the last.
I could say the same to you.
A stray round from a long laser rifle blazed overhead. Seconds later, another. Lacking enough silver energy to power my shield, I broke into a run, heading for Tertius. As heavier rounds landed nearby, Sarkis was suddenly willing to share, and like a banner of corruption held high, the coppery color of my war shield was easy to see. Feth. Berserkers still raged among the First Division, and Sarkis fought like an imprisoned addict, doing its best to break free of my grip. Being marked, it had nowhere to hide. But I did. Being only a mile out of Tertius, I ran from the lives I'd been trying to save. By the time the last berserker went down, I was long gone. My knuckle struck the High Temple's main door twice. Neither impact made a dent in the ultra-hard surface, but the results were profound. The first knock announced our presence. The beast beyond the doorway stirred in anticipation. The door parted, and a beautiful young woman stepped through. Touting dark curls and an unkempt smile, the woman wore a dress of silver and inky dark blue. She was eye-catching in the extreme, like a lightning bolt on the near horizon. Lacking any blemish or line on her face, her age seemed close to mine, but I couldn't shake the feeling that she was far, far older. Like an angel, she had reached eternity and doubled back, knowing I would never catch up. My day had gone as expected. I'd become a demon host. My name was Sarkis as much as it was Peric or Silver or Five, and I carried oblivion within me. At that moment, knowing its destination, the soul of the Bloodthorn stirred. I'd cut the flow of blood-scented power a mile back, but the coppery sensation still stained my mind. I trembled, studying the temple's silvery steps and holding the line. This was our domain, not his. The woman closed the door behind her.
Hello, Five. Having a rough day?
Her voice was clear, innocent, and easily adored. There was no such thing as a rough day in this young woman's life. A bad millennium? Maybe. I couldn't complain, but I didn't look up. I couldn't meet her eyes, knowing another might stare. She reached out, and I backed away, saying, "Not yet, it isn't safe."
Let me be the judge of that.
She placed her hand on my cheek.
You carry an evil seed. Its blight has scarred my world and you along with it.
I haven't finished knocking.
Then we will do so together.
I stepped forward and raised my hand again. The woman reached up and placed her hand upon mine. We struck the temple door with the same deadened thud as the first. My knuckle ached, and my heart lurched as the bloodthorn shard hurled itself through the doorway and into the sea of souls. The door's silvery glow condensed into a freezing mist and slammed shut. I didn't dare touch it again. The young woman was gone. A young girl, for that is what she'd become, held my hand. Lizzie looked up at me and sighed.
Five, where is your collar?
Do I need it?
With me, no, but with others.
Her eyes, one light gray, one bold and blue, sparkled in amusement.
My father thanks you for saving me. He says you can hide here, but not for long. Others will be coming for you soon.
How do you see him?
This is my domain. I decide who crosses my threshold.
Will you allow me through?
Have you knocked before?
Yes, and I will again soon. Collared or not, I was on a dead-end path. The mark of Sarkis made sure of that. The little girl nodded.
Sit with me, and I'll tell you a secret about a pair of wayward souls.
Wayward? Not the word of a 6-year-old.
They think themselves hidden, but they are on a dead-end path.
And what is their secret?
They are marked. They can be found. They must be found.
The girl walked down the temple steps and placed her foot on an unforgotten spot. The numerals 5 and 6 began to glow brighter than the plasquered around them.
Have you forgotten our names?
Never, I said.
I'm here because of you.
Because I knocked? She smiled.
Yes, and because we are connected. Wherever you knock, you will find me waiting.
Not Sarkis?
Not Sarkis, not Horn, only me.
A small tear plummeted down her cheek. She lifted my left hand, showing the number 6 glowing under my skin.
Today is my birthday. As a gift, I've given you a new name. 5 was a killer. 6 is a protector. My protector.
I think you've got things backward.
Backward is the best way to think when dealing with the warp.
She reached up, brushing her finger under my chin, examining the painful ring etched into my neck.
The marks of chaos flow both ways. Sarkis has nowhere to hide. Can you imagine what the remaining pair of bloodthorns will find the next time they reach out for power?
Having passed my trial run, I didn't ask if I was strong enough to face them. They'll find me waiting, and we'll give them a trip home.
You have your mission.
A stray thought struck me. Lizzie, what did you see?
When?
That night out on the plains, inside the lightning, you laughed.
I saw you hop as if you were doing a jig. You were dead, and yet you were dancing to a witch's tune.
Like I am now?
Almost, but today you only look dead. Others have suffered far worse.
A little girl walked up the steps, arriving back at the door as a woman. Lizzie disappeared through the lustrous doorway, and silence reigned in the high temple compound. Not a footstep or an echo rang out as the door closed behind her. I whispered, "Happy birthday," and ran for the nearest lift. It had sounded so simple when Lizzie said it. Now I wasn't so sure. The wall of Ogryn commandos blocking my way into the Underhive was one problem. The presence of Inquisitor Mantisera was another. My growing impatience was the last. Having blasted the bulk of Starfire's reserves into Aetor the Bull, I needed to see Keegan in my arcs. I needed to feel the tender touch of Warrant Green's Reds. After my collision with the Bloodthorn of Gaul, I'd taken a drink from its fountain. I'd stepped farther into its reality than planned and scalded my soul in the act. In short, I needed to be locked away. We faced off in a silver-lined alleyway of Sector 85B. The mixture of silver and blood was a coppery reminder of a day well spent. Eventually the silver would fade, and the walls would have to be scoured clean, but not today. Inquisitor, should I be surprised that you came here first? And where is Captain Finn?
He's guarding the firehead, and they won't allow me inside.
Mantisera pointed to the Ogryns at his back.
Do you have any idea why?
The Underhive is an exclusive domain. It takes more than an inquisitorial badge to breach it. How did you manage to take control of it the first time?
I offered to spare the lives of millions.
And what did that buy you?
Nothing of any permanence.
Mantisera turned the focus back on me.
I notice that you're missing your collar.
Never was a man more wrong. I would never miss it. Not the collar nor the damage it had wrought. I have a new collar. I lifted my chin, showing the new mark. The Bloodthorn thought it unique. We traded mark for mark. Inquisitor Mantisera took a step back, bumping into the Ogryns behind him. A nightmare had come to fruition.
You've collected the demon host?
Do I look that bad?
Yes.
Did you think I would approach Keegan Bast carrying a soul shard of Sarkis? The Inquisitor didn't dare answer that. He sagely switched the subject.
Who destroyed Aetor?
I did, but I needed Sarkis's power to do it. I had gone overboard in terms of the energy I'd used, but the Bloodthorn had buckets that needed emptying. The enemy had thought to overwhelm me with their massacres and mutilations, but they hadn't expected my control of their supply of corruption. Neither had Aetor the Bull.
What is your name?
Six. I showed Mantisera another mark, one from our side of the veil. I wasn't sure he could see it. Five was given a promotion.
Another mark?
A spell. An intricate gift.
From whom?
An angel. Mantisera spat.
Heresy.
Starfire pressed against his chin. Everyone knocks.
You wouldn't dare.
Mantisera had never been more wrong. I danced with things far worse than the Inquisition and suffered the consequences. He could too. Slipping my free hand into a filthy overcoat, I pulled out a Malleus rosette and tossed it over. Lucian Cano wanted more and would have kept it. I'm not Lucian Cano.
What does that mean?
I stared hard at Mantisera's blank face. It means you owe me an Ordo Banisher.
You ask for much.
I'm not asking.
Where is Sarkis?
The Bloodthorn of Gaul has been purged. While it resides in the Empyrean, two demon hosts remain. I can feel them recoiling in the distance. They've lost their brother. We mourn as one. Mantisera seemed puzzled.
What is your name?
Lieutenant Savant Peric Kilhaven, 1st Division of the Fulcrum 10th Legion. Why do Inquisitors always ask for my name?
You are marked. We know it can alter your perception and change your identity. By answering, you offer us a measure of the impact it has had on your mind.
What about my soul?
While the Ecclesiarchy might disagree, that's no one else's business but your own.
Hereticus would disagree.
They assume that the mind follows the soul, and are usually right.
I bear the mark of Sarkis. My soul is stricken, not doomed. It remains in the fight against an enemy that is weakened but not done. Sarkis can't hide from me, nor I from them. Another battle is imminent.
I read your file.
It was about time. I shrugged, waiting for his judgment. He smiled, saying,
What do you have planned?
A long shower and a family reunion.
When can I enter the Underhive?
When you bring me a gift, I said.
What do you want?
Astartes.